Now, this is what we're going to be doing today. I'm about to preach, but it's going to be a shorter sermon. Don't look so excited about that. Hopefully, we can get her down to about 15 or 20 minutes. But I think that the subject matter will be self-evident in light of David and Amanda's departure from us. And then we are going to have two tributes from some of the young people that David and Amanda ministered to, and one from Pastor Jim, who will be speaking on behalf of the staff and the rest of us adults. And then there will be some presentation of gifts, and David is going to respond and say a few words to us. And then we are literally going to pass David and Amanda to our brothers and sisters at Crossway Church, and that'll go something like a wedding. You know, will you give David and Amanda to be? And they will say, we do. And we'll pass them on with kisses and hugs, I'm sure. And then we will have some brief words of response from Pastor Pat, who is here, along with his wife and Pastor Marty. We're so grateful that you guys are here with us today. And then there will be a prayer of commissioning, and we will invite all the teenagers, the youth staff, the pastoral staff, the elders, the delegation from Crossway, and anybody who wants to, actually the whole church, if you want to come up onto the platform, however many we can fit, and we will pray a brief prayer of blessing and commissioning upon David and Amanda. And then we will have communion together. And Jim and I will serve the Crossway delegation first as a symbol of us in this together with Christ. We'll serve David and Amanda, and then David and Amanda with our other teams will serve us communion for the last time. It will be very special. And so now let's ask for the Lord's special anointing upon the teaching of his word today. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like you to turn to Psalm 133. This is a very brief psalm. It's perfect for this kind of day, not because of just its brevity, but because of the subject matter. Psalm 133 has been one of my personal favorites over the years, and every time I return to it, I seem to draw fresh water from its well. And this last week, it's blessed my life again, particularly in light of what's happening here today between our two churches. Follow along as I read it. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon, which is a mountain, were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So this brief little psalm is about unity. It's about brotherly and sisterly unity. And it begins with a very exuberant exclamation of a fact, something that David himself has experienced, that being that when brothers and sisters live together in harmony, it really is a beautiful thing. He says, how good and how pleasant. I think the King James Version says, behold, or look, or see just how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Now, we might look at this and say, well, David, maybe you're exaggerating a little bit. You've been hiking. This is one of the Psalms of Ascent. Maybe the air is getting a little thin and it's not quite as good and pleasant as you are suggesting. I mean, does this little idea of brotherly togetherness demand its own psalm? And I think that in light of everything the Scripture says about brothers and sisters, and everything we've learned from church history about brothers and sisters, and everything that we've learned from our own experience about being a sibling, brotherly unity and sisterly affection really is something to write home about, because it's quite rare. How many of you have a brother? Well, then I don't need to say any more. I have a brother. His name is Brent. And the older Brent and I get, the better we get along. But if Brent were standing here today and you knew Brent and I, you would say all kinds of things about our unique relationship. I'm the older brother. But unity would not be the first thing that would come to your mind at all about Brent and I. And the reason for that is that we're brothers, right? So think for a moment about the history of brotherhood in the scripture. Where would we start with the first story of brothers? Genesis, right? And the first two brothers don't exactly raise the bar for the rest of us. Somebody said that the mistake that Cain and Abel made is that they had a discussion in the field about religion. And one brother thought it would be best that the other brother weren't around and killed him. That's the first story of brotherhood, and brotherhood from that point on takes quite a hit, and it spirals downhill from there. And through the rest of the Bible, we have one story of dysfunctional family after another. Of course, throughout the book of Genesis, you have the story of Joseph and his brothers. Of course, they despised him. They didn't kill him. They sold him to a band of traveling Ishmaelites. We know that story well, and it made life very difficult for him for at least 20 years. Even the story of Jesus is not a story of brotherly unity. We're told in the Gospels that his half-brothers did not understand him. They did not get the fact that he was the Messiah. It was difficult for Jesus growing up in the home that he grew up in. His mom and dad didn't understand him until years later. You take a look at our church history, even just the history of, not Pacific Community Church, but the history of the Reformation from Martin Luther on, and our history is wrought with great division and discord and fracture. In fact, built right into our Protestant DNA is this tendency towards schism. So though we are brothers and sisters, what we see happening often is that if somebody like me or you gets mad at the church we're living in, instead of working it out and hanging in there, we just say, I've had it with you, and we leave and we plant another church, maybe just a few blocks away in some other little community close by, and maybe a bunch of people will leave here and go there, and it's not really church planting at all. It's not church planting by vision, it's church planting by division. In fact, we're told that there's as many denominations that are birthed as there are Tim Hortons franchises that are birthed. Every time a new Timmy's goes up, somebody has started a brand new denomination, and it's not always because of vision. And so the question is David overstating it when he says, oh, it's such a good and wonderful thing when brothers dwell together in unity? Well, no, he's not overstating it at all. It really is a very special thing. And it seems from this text that in order for us brothers and sisters to live together in unity, there needs to be a cause or a mission or a destination that is greater than the sum total of all of our strong personalities and our doctrinal distinctives and all the things that can tear us apart. There needs to be something or someone that knits our hearts together so we say to one another, it doesn't matter about all these little differences, we are in this task together. And what's so unique about this little psalm is that it is a psalm of ascent. It was probably written and sung while they were hiking together from wherever they lived to Jerusalem. They were en route together. They had a common destination, and the destination was much bigger than their differences. But it also seems that there needed to be a power greater than their own differences and agendas, a power that didn't originate with them and their willingness to simply work together. It seems that there had to be something bestowed from above, from heaven, from on high. Take a look at the psalm again and look at how many times we have the image of something flowing down. It is like the precious oil poured down on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling down on Mount Zion. The great theme of this text is downward. that unity is a gift that God gives his people, that we just can't muster up unity. It's something that we receive. It flows down. It's a gift of God's grace. And then David describes this unity using two metaphors that are so very interesting, a little puzzling at times, but I want us to take a brief look at each one of them. First of all, he says that this unity is like oil that is poured on the head. Now, this oil goes back to the book of Exodus when Aaron the high priest was anointed. In fact, many people were anointed in the Old Testament, not just Aaron. We'll talk about that in a moment. But when Aaron was anointed, the oil was costly, the oil was abundant, and the oil was very fragrant. And they poured it all over his head, and it ran down his beard, and it ran down to his collar. There was so much oil. It wasn't like the way we anoint with a little dabble, do you? It was the whole bottle, just pouring, gushing, abundant, fragrant. Everybody could smell the oil. Unity is like the oil. Now, when I mention oil, what does that symbolize in the Bible, in both Old and New Testament? It symbolizes one of the persons of the Godhead. Which one? The Holy Spirit. So David is saying, when brothers and sisters live together in unity, it is like the anointing of the Holy Spirit that, first of all, is costly. The oil in the Old Testament cost a lot to make. And the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives cost Jesus his life. Jesus died and rose again in order for us to receive the full Pentecostal blessing that has come to us. The presence of the Spirit when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity is also very fragrant. Paul said, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ and manifests through us the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus in every place." This he spoke of the Spirit. So it's fragrant and it's abundant. There's enough of the Spirit to go around to every follower of Jesus in the world. So David is saying that this anointing oil was placed on Aaron. Now that's very interesting because there would have been better examples. David could have even used himself as an example when Samuel poured a whole horn of oil on his head when he anointed him king. But he chose to use Aaron as an example. Biblical unity is like the extravagant outpouring of the Spirit on Aaron. Now, if we were to do a little biblical study and I were to ask you, what is the one event in Aaron's life that made him famous? When you think of Aaron, is there something that comes to mind? How about the day when Aaron led the entire nation in the worship of the golden calf? Aaron is famous for caving in to the pressure of the people while the senior pastor was up the mountain, right? Remember that whole story. And Aaron felt weak without Moses, his brother, and the people were saying, "We need someone, something to worship. Come on, Aaron, come on, Aaron." And so Aaron caved and created with them a golden calf and led the people in worship of that calf. And that day, thousands and thousands of people were killed. They were judged by God when the Levites took their swords and, in obedience to God, killed everyone who did not side with Moses. Aaron had a tough time getting people to vouch for him for his next job. Aaron's resume actually is one of the least impressive of all the men in the Old Testament. Aaron is always sort of wanting to catch whatever God gives Moses. Moses goes to the top of the mountain, Aaron is only allowed to go halfway. It seems that Aaron is struggling in between Moses and God and in between the people and himself, and he's struggling. He's kind of a publicity guy. He's listening here and listening there and finally caves in and he goes, "Oh, I'm not much of a high priest." Unity is like the anointing oil falling on the guy who has the worst reputation. Aaron repents. And the beautiful story about Aaron is that he was famous for his walking stick. And to prove that Aaron was brought back into fellowship with God and was once again a high priest, we never lost that, was that his walking stick, which was as dead as a broom handle, miraculously sprouted flowers. And it was so special that they took Aaron's rod and stuck it in the Ark of the Covenant, along with a jar of manna and with the Ten Commandments. David says, you want to know how great unity is between brothers and sisters? It's like the extravagant outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Aaron. And so how do we experience unity? We experience unity when we view one another as fellow priests, anointed by Jesus Christ, imperfect and fallen as we are, uniquely anointed as instruments that mediate the person of Jesus Christ one to another. And so that means that we may disagree with one another on all kinds of things. It may mean we have personality clashes, but there will be unity when we view one another in Christ as anointed priests. Isn't that good news? And the second metaphor is this metaphor of dew from Mount Hermon falling on Mount Zion. So unity is about the Spirit's anointing of each person as a priest, and it's also about the refreshing that comes from that anointing. Now, this is interesting. I didn't know this. In fact, this has always troubled me. Verse 3, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. The reason why this always troubled me is that I didn't know the geography of Israel. But in doing some reading this week, I discovered that Mount Hermon is the largest mountain in the Middle East, and Mount Zion is one of the smallest. In fact, for those of you that have been to Israel, to Jerusalem, you know that Mount Zion isn't much of a mountain. We would call it a molehill. It's nothing like Mount Baker. But Mount Hermon is only 1,000 feet shorter than Mount Baker, 9,000 feet. It's in Lebanon. And so David is saying that brotherly unity is like when the big mountain that is famous for dew saturating the top of it because it's so high gives some of its dew to little Mount Zion that isn't famous for dew at all. It's famous for dryness and barrenness, yet it's chosen. Mount Zion is chosen even though it's small. Israel is chosen even though it's nothing. You and I have been chosen even though God saw nothing in us. It was just by His grace. David says unity happens when the big mountains are willing to give some of their due to the little mountains and vice versa. And everybody's refreshed and everybody is anointed and we're all working together. So back to our question, how is such unity between brothers and sisters possible? Answer, when traveling together towards the same destination, we view one another as Spirit-anointed priests, blood-bought by Christ Himself, who bless the least of these with spiritual refreshing, when those who have give to those who have not. And then David says, for it is there, it is at that place that the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. So here's what I want to say today. We, the people at Pacific Community Church, are very, very pleased to be in close fellowship with the people at Crossway Community Church. And the reason why today is not so terribly sad, even though it is a little bit sad, is because Crossway Church and Pacific Church are under the same yoke together. And though there are minor theological differences between us as congregations, and maybe a couple minor differences as to how we govern ourselves, our destination is way bigger than our differences. And we, with Crossway, are committed to the goal of the glory of God being manifested throughout the whole world through the living and preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that pulls us very tightly together. The other thing that I want to say is that we, though you may not know it, have benefited from the anointing that God has placed on Crossway Church. I know Pastor Tony better than I know Pat and Marty because I've met with him so many times in talking about David and all the trouble he's going to have when David goes there. But I've recognized, and I think those of you that know the Crossway people see that God has placed an anointing upon them that is to that anointing is to benefit the whole community and even the whole world. They have a worship anointing, and they have a teaching anointing, and they really have a church planting anointing. They actually have something that we don't have. They have a very detailed strategy on training and raising and equipping and sending church planters. So we are benefiting from that, from all of that anointing. And their lives have also refreshed us like dew. They're probably a little bigger than we are. I'm not sure, but I think they are. They're like the big mountain, and we're like the little mountain. And yet they are willing to share so much of their resources to us. I don't know if you know this, but during the Cloverdale Christmas Hamper Program, the biggest church that serves alongside of us are our brothers and sisters from Crossway Church. They are there side by side with us. And so I want to thank you, Crossway delegation, for how you have given so much of your lives to us. But I want you to know something today. We are giving you our due today. We are giving you a great gift. We're giving you David and Amanda. And that's going to make you very, very rich. And it's going to make us very, very blessed, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Amen. So we want to honor David and Amanda. So I'd like to ask the three that are giving tributes, if you would come now and share with David and Amanda what's on your heart.
When Brian asked me to share some thoughts about David and Amanda on behalf of the youth group, I was hesitant to get up here and speak. But because of the strong leadership and encouragement I've received from David and Amanda and the rest of the leaders at youth over the past 3 years, I am able and thankful to have this opportunity to share with you guys. The past 3 years with David and Amanda have had a big impact on my life. They have both made this youth group a growing and memorable experience. Now, I'll admit, I wasn't sure about this funny-talking young Scottish guy, and along with some of the other youth, wondered what he could possibly teach me about God that wasn't what I've already heard. But Dave is very passionate about his faith, and it became very apparent he was passionate about sharing it with us. Over time, we all came to value his preaching, as well as Dave and Amanda's friendship. His enlightening sermons always seemed to apply to my life and brought about meaningful discussions afterwards within small groups. He has taught me personally to become more actively involved in my spiritual walk. One way I have grown has been through involvement in leading worship on Sundays and at youth. Through much encouragement, I've grown from feeling very insecure to having peace and confidence on stage leading worship. Amanda wasn't my small group leader at youth, but I know from talking to others, she has greatly impacted all the girls she has led in her small group. She has been a great source of encouragement and a listening ear for them, as well as an example of how to live for Christ. Apart from that, Amanda has been a huge support to Dave over the past 3 years. We all love her very much and are thankful for all that she has done for us at youth. On behalf of all the youth, I would like to thank you, David and Amanda, for all the time, effort, and hard work you've put into making the youth group at PCC the best that it could be and possibly the best it's ever been. The spiritual truths you've brought have been a blessing to us all during your time here. You will be greatly missed, but forever in our hearts and prayers. We all love you both very much and pray God will continue to bless the paths you take in the years to come.
This church has been blessed by you guys, and particularly the youth group has been very blessed by you guys and your presence. It's no secret that when they first arrived at the church, I wasn't exactly Dave's biggest fan. The youth group encountered a very dramatic and very abrupt shift in format with his arrival. Before he came, it was lots of moving and running and playing and having a grand old time. And when he came, it was lots of sitting and listening to this new guy talk for what seemed like forever. just imagine driving down the freeway at 100 miles an hour, and some random person jumps in and pulls the e-brake. It was a very sudden stop, and that's much what it was like for me. And from that very sudden stop, I developed a very serious case of whiplash. So for the first 5 or 6 months, Dave may argue maybe even for the first year, I sat through youth nights with one of those big collars around my neck, just kind of staring, maybe even glaring forward at the stranger as he talked. But then the whiplash started to wear off. And slowly, instead of just listening to Dave talk, I began to listen to what Dave was talking about. I've grown up in a Christian family, and the majority of you know them and me. And if not, they're the ones who block your view every Sunday morning. and I'm so blessed to have the parents and siblings that I have. But as I listened to the words coming out of Dave's mouth, rather than just glare at his mouth, the Spirit began to move inside of me, and it began to make known to me through the gospel that was being preached every week, and not just the gospel, but the gospel that was understandable and applicable to us. That being a member of a good Christian family is great, but it's not enough. I needed my own faith, and I needed my own relationship with our Father. And with the help of Dave and all the youth leaders that have helped out over the last couple of years, I began to walk towards that, and I'll be walking towards that for the rest of my life. So Dave, thank you for jumping in and pulling that e-brake. Even though the whiplash sucked, I'm so very grateful that God sent you here to do it. And I also want to thank Dave and Amanda, both of you, as a couple, for setting such a strong example together for what a solid young married couple could look like. I know that's been very encouraging for many of the youth in this youth group, especially those of us who are in relationships. So thanks to both of you. I love you guys, and we're sad to see you go, but we're also so happy to see you go. God bless you.
Do you remember when? Here's some pictures. You remember when David was preaching and he was like a raging tiger with his hair, you know, just flicking his hair. I still remember. It was so fun to watch. I wanted to grow my hair long. He had a few famous words too. I still remember him in his second, maybe third sermon. He says, as always, I'll be reading from the ESV. I thought that was cute. And his Scottish accent, he still can't get poor right. Buh. That's true, you know, the guys with the accents get the best girls. It's just, David, it's been a wonderful 3 years with you. You were a young man. I still remember sitting in the initial interviews, and I couldn't guess your age. It was hard. But you were young, and yet, visibly, there was a maturity and a wisdom that you were shaping yourself in. You loved the truth. I think that's apparent to all of us. He just had a passion for the truth and that people would know the truth. And you guys give testimony to that, even for a stubborn tall one. And in these 3 years, you allowed yourself to enter into ministry. This was sort of your first primary engagement in terms of ministry and leadership. And certainly your leadership was tested. That's the challenge of being a pastoral leader or a leader in any context, but definitely also in the church. And you always had a heart to be a church planter, which is probably the most dangerous thing. Why would you do that to yourself? But when God puts a call upon one's life, you listen. And you were listening. And so in these 3 years, I hope, and I think it has been the case, that your leadership capacity has been tested and that it's provided you a great context to be able to understand yourself more and understand what God's doing in your life and being able to expand the capacity that God desires for you. And you and I had some good times together, but also challenging times as we learn to live together in ways as, you know, God would have us. And I've grown because of you. I thank you for that gift. We live in a world that celebrates leadership, perhaps even idolizes leadership. You have many leadership traits. But Christ also modeled a leadership that was very different than the world. And my prayer is that you will be of that sort, the way of Christ. And so PCC was a 3-year experience for you to apply your best and to be humbled maybe by not your best at all times. And I really appreciate it, even in these last months, just the kind of reflection that you showed in terms of your life and leadership and being able to say, God, what are you up to in my life and what are you calling me to? I think as you move with Amanda into ministry, that capacity will make you strong because you will turn back to Christ all the time. A number of things I think you learned, at least these stand out for me as I reflected on it this morning. I saw you trusting the Holy Spirit more. What he was doing in your life, in the life of the church, in the life of the people that surrounded you. And I think you moved from the anxious youth to a growing and greater maturity because you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. I think, too, you've learned to deal with difference, recognizing the gifts of many and being able to respond to them in gracious, gracious ways. And I think you learned, too, through these 3 years, preaching with a humble boldness. Being able to preach powerfully, but yet humbly as a servant. These three things I see in you. And I encourage you to carry on with them. To play on the words of both ministries that you were very much involved with, the two, Vintage and Legacy. Interesting names, but for you, the vintage of the truth is measured by the quality of the gospel. And such will be the legacy given to the world when people live in such truth. And so, enjoy the vintage of this great and ancient truth and be a legacy. May God bless you, and we will miss you. But we are so joyful about what God has called you into and how he has shaped you and Amanda for ministry in the future. Let me invite you to come forward. We want to present you with a gift. And also, if Monica could come up, and we have gifts for both of you. Please come on up. It's a big bouquet. Yeah. Well, you guys have been a real gift to us, and for us to be able to give you these gifts is just a small token, really, of all that you've blessed us with. And you've given us life just as these flowers represent. We know that you love reading and learning. It's been a big part of your life. And so we hope that this gift that's included in here, it's a monetary gift, will help you go further. Take a portion of this and bless your sweetheart also, I'm sure. But we just thank you so much for how you've blessed us. And may you be a blessing and be blessed wherever you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim. Well, it's my turn now. Before I forget, because I will, Amanda and I are going to spend some time down this side of the church at the end of the service. And so if you felt the need to say goodbye, then we would love that. About 3 years ago, Amanda and I were flying back from our honeymoon. We flew in on the Saturday night, and we stayed the night at a hotel, and we arrived here on the Sunday morning, newlyweds, and we literally had nowhere to live. And so we just started asking people, can we house sit for you? Because we literally had nowhere to go. And from that point on, until even last night when I sent out a similar call, that's one of Amanda's hairs, they get everywhere. they're longer than mine, but not as long, much longer than they used to be. And I put out a similar call last night, and it looks like we found a perfect place. So that just represented to me the love and the support that you guys have given us from day one, and that you've extended all the way until now. We are so thankful for this church. It's been the only church that we've known as a young married couple. It's been the first church to really ever be family. To me and to Amanda as well. And so it is with great sadness that we leave, but great excitement as well. We're thankful that we can leave because of vision and not division. That's good for us. Thank you, you guys, so much for the grace that you've extended us. I am young and I'm still very zealous and stupid. And, you know, you've just always extended such grace and love towards me. And Amanda has felt deeply loved as well. And she's easier to love than I am. But you've loved her well as well. I have to thank Pastor Brian and Pastor Jim. Pastor Brian and Myrna as well. You guys have welcomed us into your family. You know, the fact that you introduced us to your kids and welcomed us into your home. Amanda says you were our only friends when we first arrived. And that friendship is one that we will treasure. Brian, your love for the table, your focus on the sacraments, partnered with the word, that will stick with me forever. That will impact my ministry and the lives of many. That's a legacy that you've left for me, and your desire to pursue kingdom over our little theological tribes, that will remain with me as well. So thank you, and Pastor Jim and Monica as well. You guys have taught us so much. Jim, you've stretched me more than almost anyone has ever stretched me, maybe with the exception of Amanda. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love you deeply as a brother and respect you greatly as a pastor and as a husband and as a father. And Monica, some of the highlights for us over the last 3 years have been retreats. And almost every single night on those retreats, Amanda and I would go to bed and we would comment on how much we respect you and love you. The words that you have spoken to us have landed deeply. And you're a great gift to Jim and to this church and to your boys. And so I wanted to recognize the four of you this morning. Also wanted to thank the other staff, Tracy, Taya, Katie. The roles that these women do are often unrecognized, but none of this would happen without them. And so thank you for the grace that you guys have extended to me as well. And to our volunteers, nothing that we did would have worked without you guys. And in particular, I want to recognize Dan. As you move into this calling, kind of inheriting a little bit of this mantle, partnering with Katie, I am incredibly proud of you. And I can say that knowing that you understand that you didn't earn your salvation, but you partnered with the Spirit in your sanctification, and you've worked hard, and you will continue to work hard. And I'm proud to call you a brother and a friend, and I'll always be a mentor to you in whatever it is that you do. So thank you. You've blessed me immensely. This certainly hasn't been a one-way street. I have to thank Amanda. Amanda has been so faithful to me over the last 3 years. I'm hard to be married to. You think I'm abrupt and throw the emergency brake on in ministry? That's my life. Like, you just experienced it. And you have to live that with me. But you do it with such grace and love and kindness and devotion. And I promise you that over the next 2 months, as I'm on sabbatical, over the next 2 years as we go through training, and over the next few decades, I'll always be faithful to you. And I won't let the church become a mistress. You will be my wife over the church. And I also... And in light of the gospel that I've always sought to preach, I have to thank God, because I could have been the best preacher, the best pastor, the best leader, and without the work of His Holy Spirit, we would have seen nothing. And He has moved. In the youth ministry, in the young adults ministry, in the preaching ministry, and in the other things that I've been involved in. And if He hadn't, it would have been nothing. And my prayer is that He would continue to bless this church, that He would continue to come down, to pour Himself out on you guys. And I trust that I'll always be aware of what He is doing, because I'll always be keeping a close eye on this church. And I trust that we will always be close partners in the gospel together. So thank you, Pacific Community Church. It's been a pleasure. And I'm sure that we'll be seeing a fair bit of you in the future as well. Thank you again. God bless you.
You can stay standing for this, because we're going to pray for them now. I'd like the whole Crossway delegation, if you would come, and if you would stand over here. Yeah, you can put those down. Yeah. And I would like the elders and spouses, if you'd like, and the staff, and the youth staff, and a bunch of the youth. If you're a young person and you're here, I'd like you to come and stand over here. And anybody else that's been involved with David and Amanda directly, you want to come up here? We'll pack this. Great. You guys, that's great. Crossway people, thank you so much for coming. Well, we just love you guys, and I hope you can take some of this love back to your congregation and let them know what happened here today. This is such a sacred moment, I think, in the kingdom in Cloverdale. And we've given David and Amanda a small token of our love, but we want to give you a token of our love as well, to invest in David and Amanda. But we want you to spend this money on them as a couple. So maybe when they're in Maryland and they need plane tickets back to Vancouver and it's expensive, that you would do that. Or maybe they need some money right now. They've got 2 months off and they run out of all their money. Maybe you could say, here, just take this. But we'll let you guys do that. We wanted to empower you to continue to bless them. But this is how much we love you, and it's how much we love them. And, right. And... now, I sort of feel like a father who's being asked by the minister, who gives this man and woman to be married to this church? And I say, with all of you, we do. We give you, David and Amanda, to Crossway Church with great love in our hearts. And we're so grateful that you're getting married to such a good husband. If you've given a daughter away in marriage, you know that it hurts, but it doesn't hurt near as much if the character of the man she's marrying is what Crossway is. So I'm going to move you now over here, standing close to Crossway. Yeah, like this.
You're coming with me.
Yeah, and I would like you guys, let's move the Crossway people over to the middle as much as possible, and let's get as many people laying hands on the Smiths as possible. And come on in, you guys. Just move in, press in, and I will lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we stand together as two congregations, committed to the same cause, saved by the same Jesus, filled with the same Spirit, heading in the same direction. What a joy it is to be standing with our Crossway brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you that you have given the church gifts. To some he gave apostles, to some prophets, to some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the building up of the body of Christ. And you have given us for 3 years, David and Amanda. And you have enriched our church because of them. You have enriched our lives because of them. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for being such a good giver of gifts.
Thank you.
And it's such a joy for us as a church to be able to release David and Amanda to our brothers and sisters just down the road. And we pray for Crossway Church that you would continue to bless them and protect them, and that you would continue to fill them with your Spirit as they carry out the mandate that you've given them here in Cloverdale and around the world. And we pray that David and Amanda would find really good friends fast at Crossway.
Yeah.
We know they already feel so loved there, and we pray that you would increase the love even more than what they received here. And we now, Lord, pray for the special anointing of the Holy Spirit upon David and Amanda as we send them away. And we pray that these 3 years that we know we're going to be challenging and stretching, that you would continue to build into the character of David and Amanda your Christ-like qualities here and in Maryland and then back here. And then we look forward to joining with Crossway in sending David and Amanda like sharp arrows into wherever you're going to call them. So, Lord, as two churches now, we pray that you would fill us all with your Holy Spirit and enable us to continue to walk together. For how shall two walk together unless they be agreed? We agree on this, that you are a good God, and Jesus is a powerful Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill us all now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can talk. I've asked Pat just to say a few words in response to this.
That was better than we could have been laughing.
Well, this doesn't happen every day.
No.
Just in case you're wondering. I feel like I'm standing on holy ground. I want to begin by saying thank you to Brian and the rest of the pastoral team. I want to say thank you to you as a church for loving the Smiths over the years and for being willing to release them to do what you believe, they believe, the Lord is calling them to. Giving one of your best is never an easy thing. You've invested much in the Smiths, and I'm sure the Smiths have invested much in you. I've spent just a little bit of time over the last few years getting to know them, and they are easy to love. Amanda, more than Dave. I think giving one of your best speaks volumes about your passion for the kingdom of God. It says that the glory of God and the kingdom of God is what we're living for. It's evident that you've been taught well and that you have a kingdom mindset that goes beyond the borders of Pacific Community. That you want God's name glorified in the world, and you want that to happen more than you want everything to stay the same. I trust this morning that Pacific Community feels the pleasure of God. You are sowing bountifully. And Paul the Apostle writes in 2 Corinthians 9 that God loves a cheerful giver. You are a cheerful giver this morning. He continues to write, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing into many in many thanksgiving to God. Now, this is speaking about giving financially, giving money. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, but I think it's applicable this morning. Crossway is overflowing this morning in many thanks because of your willingness to give such a generous gift. And by God's grace, we will seek to steward these gifts for a season until the time comes for us to send him off again to the pastor's college and then out to plant a church, Lord willing. And when this time comes, we must gather together for a celebration. David and Amanda, thank you for loving the Lord Jesus Christ like you do. Thank you for seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Thanks for being willing to sacrifice much for the advancement of the kingdom. Thanks for allowing Crossway to take care of you, to love you, to invest in you for this next leg of the race. We love you guys. We love this church. And we pray God's blessing. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pat. If you've come to church this morning with a need, or you know somebody that has a need, we will have a prayer team over here. And over here, as usual, let us pray for you. We want to serve the Crossway delegation first. So I'd like to ask Jim and to join me. And the two other teams that are serving, you can come and join the platform as well. We are going to serve David and Amanda and the Crossway delegation as a symbol of our love in Christ, and then we will turn the elements over to David and Amanda, and they will serve here, serve us as one of the serving teams. So, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, and it's given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after dinner, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many. For the forgiveness of your sins, drink this as often as you will in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your blood and your body for the church. We feed on you this morning. We are hungry. We have been blessed, but we know that we will be blessed again as we come and receive. We confess to you again our sins, knowing that every one of them was paid for in full when you died on our behalf. And we also want to recognize that we do this only until you come. You are alive. You are Lord. You are reigning. Your kingdom is coming. And we ask now for the blessing of the Spirit to be upon this holy meal, that we might continue to be fed and built up as a community that serves the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.